Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
If you're part of Life over the month of March, you would have heard me share around this thought that a significant Christian life needs constant realignment. If you weren't in church or you're new to Life, I would encourage you to go to the website and this week have a listen to the messages around this thought of realigning. I couldn't get it out of my spirit that today God wanted me to echo back over some of the things that we touched on, that as a human being, you are subject to drifting. How many know the mighty man of God, Elijah, that could take down 450 prophets, found himself on a particular day where he was emotionally spent and he felt disillusioned, and so he began to run. You can become distracted, you can become disillusioned, you can go through disappointments. And over the month of March, I was talking about we need to be, again, if you like, attached to truth that sets us free. It's like a boat against a dock. If you know anything about me, I love the water, and I have been on many larger boats that people have owned, and when you pull into the dock, if it's between two docks, they need to ensure that whether the wind comes from north, south, east, or west, the boat will remain safe because it's under tension of guy ropes that are locked at each point of the compass. And in March, we talked about the fact that there are four things I have learned through my walk with God that are not just a great message. These are the guy ropes that are going to keep you or realign you. Anybody excited about that? And so the thoughts were that every one of us are called, that's why we're doing Next Steps, to live kingdom purposed. Because you can achieve everything that you can do naturally and be the best or the most achieved human being, but if it's not wrapped around kingdom purpose, then you're going to find yourself still living empty. You think if I just got to that stage of life, I would be fulfilled. No, God said you were designed to live a kingdom purpose. Your life is here for something that will have a generational echo. You weren't just saved from hell. You were saved to bring the kingdom of God here to earth. The enemy knows that, so he doesn't want you to begin to dream and be a big thinking kingdom purpose. Kingdom purpose, we talked about Holy Spirit powered, that we are now carriers as believers of the Holy Spirit, and his power lives within us, and so we need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Come on, I'm preaching better than Wes is responding. I'm not sure if that's a reflection of Pastor Ollie, or it's definitely not a reflection of Pastor Nikki, that's for sure. But Holy Spirit, how much are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you? Are you looking for his wisdom? Anyway, I'm not going to reteach that, but then thirdly, personally planted. That we understand the Bible says, make sure you get planted in the house, because when you're planted in the house, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be encouraged to come back to the Word of God. You're going to reconnect one of the four guide ropes. In other words, oh, well, I can be a Christian and not be in church. Well, you can have salvation and not be in church, but you can't live a fulfilled Christian life outside of being planted in the house of God. That's not legalism. That's an understanding. I want you to get this from somebody that's had to learn and help people the hard way. Got to live kingdom purposed, Holy Spirit powered, and then planted, literally personally planted in the house. You want your kids, if you're a parent of young kids, you want your kids to have the strength to go through their teenage years? Then they're only going to model what you do. And how many know when you come into God's house and you worship again, you get a right perspective. When you come into God's house and hear God's word, it begins to untie again the anxiety in your heart. But I want to talk about the fourth one, because I never actually got to speak about that. But this week I was thinking, I want to underscore, I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, got to keep talking about living partnered. Because you can have a big family but not be partnered. You can be in a big city but not be partnered. You can be in a larger church and not live partnered. And to live within these incredible four keys and the tensions that they bring liberty to you. You know, I've been driving a car for a long time, but how many know it's easy to live outside the rules? Anybody like that? I remember one Sunday I was coming to Vision Sunday and I had forgotten something that I needed for Vision Sunday. And I realized when I was halfway into the city from up at Manly, and I thought, oh, darling, I've forgotten something and I need it. So we turned around and I was going slightly faster than normal. And I came around the corner and then there was a cop sitting there. The lights went on and I just like pulled up. And the cop says, you realize you were doing quite a bit over the speed limit? I said, yes, sir, I do realize because I'm a man of the cloth. And I need to get something because we've got a big vision study. He says, no excuses. Do you realize that little thing on your car there? That's called something you can set on the right speed if you've got a problem. I said, no, I never really thought about that, but thank you. You just got to do life, and if you're on a motorway, it's easy to let go of the things you need to keep. Oh, I've been a Christian a long time. No, I want to encourage you. These four things: to live purposed, powered, planted, and partnered are going to keep you long term. And when you talk about that, you realize, see, Elijah was an incredible man of God. See, what had happened, a bit of context, is that Ahab was the king of Israel. And two nations came together and Jezebel was a part of the other nation who had no respect for Israel's God, Jehovah. They got married. And now King Ahab became again entwined through the philosophy of the queen Jezebel. And so he began to worship Jezebel's gods. And so then Jezebel began to kill the prophets that belonged to Jehovah. And that was the context of a shift that had taken place. And so there comes Elijah into the middle of that, and God says, you need to go to King Ahab and share what I am asking you to share. Because the nation had been under famine and under, again, no water for 3.5 years. So Elijah, the man of God, goes and he goes to Mount Carmel, and there at Mount Carmel, he bows his head, the Bible says, between his knees, and he begins to pray. And what he does is he hears supernaturally the sound of an abundance of rain. And so then he goes out to look for the rain, not once, but 7 times, and there is nothing that gives evidence of what he heard from God. But the 7th time he sees a cloud, but the cloud is the size of a man's hand. And he doesn't give up because of what he doesn't see. He knows that God says, I'm going to break the drought and I'm going to use this. So then he calls the king and says, there is a cloud and the rain is about to come. And so the king comes on his chariot and they go towards the rain. And you know what Elijah does? He's the man of God. He outruns the chariot. It's like he's not just a man of God, he's an athlete. And so he runs and outruns the chariot. Not only do they see the drought broken, but then he challenges the false prophets to a showdown. And so 450 false prophets align to Jezebel. And they've been killing God's prophets, come onto a hill, and he calls down fire, remember? And he shows that the power of God is able to do the impossible. And King Ahab is reminded because of what Elijah does, that is the true God and that's the God he's walked away from. Some of us are here today because we need to hear. Maybe we didn't see ourselves walking away from God, but we have. And so God becomes exalted and King Ahab begins to come back to his faith and embraces Elijah's God. And there they are. But the story goes on, as I read, that Elijah then hears that Jezebel, the queen, is going to kill him like he killed the prophets. And so in that place of depletion, in that place where he's gone through some unexpected things, he runs. The man of God that can outrun a chariot, that can hear the prophetic word and see a miracle of a breaking of a drought, that can take down 450 prophets, is faced with something he never expected. And so what he does is he goes to Bathsheba, and if you read it, as I just read, and at Bathsheba he takes, again, his servant, who could well have been Elisha, and he leaves his servant at Bathsheba and goes on his own. And on his own, he finds himself crying out, God, I don't have the strength that other people think I have. You're here today. I've stuffed up. It hasn't worked out for me. I shouldn't have given way. And here I am running and it's just too hard. And he ends up under the juniper tree or the broom bush. And do you know what he says? It is enough. He literally says, it is too much for me. Ever felt like that? Come on, well, we got perfect people out west. Ever felt like, God, this is just too hard? And other people are saying, yeah, but you're the pastor and you know it's all right for you. It's kind of like, yeah, well, you can operate in your God-given gifting and you can see the miraculous come to pass, but all of us came to a place where it is too much. And God sends an angel, gives him food and drink, and he sleeps a little bit. And then he comes again, the angel, and he gives him more food and drink and basically says, this will enable you to go the next 40 days. And then the angel says the second time to Elijah, the journey is too much for you. Come on. I really prophetically feel this is a word in season. Do you know that your Christian life is too much for you? Do you know that your time here on earth is too much for you? Instead of being shamed about the fact that you're not getting through, it's like the angel is coming and saying, hey, you're at West this morning, because I want to draw a parallel of the mighty acts of God through a human vessel and that human vessel needing to come to a discovery. That if you do this life alone, it's too much for you. If you just turn up to church and do the tick in the box with the church, you're never going to get the breakthrough that God wants you to get the breakthrough. In fact, there are four things that you and I need to do. We need to live kingdom purpose. We need to be Holy Spirit powered. We need to be personally planted. And we need to live connected. Seriously connected, not just high five on Sunday. See, Elijah failed to take the one that had been with him along with him in his crisis. And seriously, no matter what you achieve, no matter what the enormity of God's gift on your life, it's too much for you. It's too hard for you. And I feel like God is saying for us as a church, it's time for us to get honest. You know, you've got a pastor that's far from perfect. People say, oh, I just love that you're honest. I said, well, there's no other way to be. Let's get real. Maybe today God's got you in church and you've been dragged along or you've just turned up or this has been your home for a while and God's saying, hey, you can get real when you're overwhelmed because it's too much for you. It's okay. You need to hear this today. Yes, it's too much for you. It's too much for your pastor. It's okay. At times you're going to feel like I'm done. This is just too hard. See, this year, our whole theme is he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It's about the people, the people, the people. It's about others. You need others in your world. And when you get others, you're going to start living partnered. God's called every one of us to live an abundant life. But that abundant life can't exist outside of the cover of community. I'm not talking about community work. I'm talking about there are people in your world that are journeying with you that are going to help you. Marie and I have been married for 39 years. She got lucky. I got lucky. People say, oh, I'd love a marriage like yours. And I say, hey, some of you have heard me say this before. The Bible says in Genesis that the two will become one flesh. In other words, it's not the marriage day that makes you one. It's a journey of becoming. Of getting honest, getting real, giving room for others' imperfections, and through that honesty, gaining a victory through it. 30 years ago, when I turned up in New Zealand, the land of my birth, you know, there was such competitiveness even in church leadership. And I thought, guys, we need each other. You need people in your world. You need to live partnered. So I know, I think it was year two that we got a team together and we wrote a personal card to every pastor we knew of that lived in Auckland. And we sent them a card, personally written, saying, hey, you're doing a great job. And here's a voucher for $200. Not to pay your bills, but to go out with your spouse if you're married or go out with someone and just say, you know what, ministry is tough, but God is doing something. Because strength, you know, let's not be competitive. And maybe you're here and you've got this feeling of it's too much for you. Well, I'm here to say, you are incapable. I am incapable of overcoming if I live isolated. We were designed to live together. In fact, significant living requires a support group. And so this living partnered, are you really living partnered? Oh, I'm in a marriage, doesn't mean you're partnered. Oh, I got a family, doesn't mean you're living partnered. Oh, I go to church, doesn't mean you're living partnered. In fact, in Personally Planted, we talked about the strength of root touch when those forest roots, the trees go down and they cross over with each other. When one loses the nutrients, another one can bring the nutrients to them. Because it's too hard for you. It's too hard for me. If I didn't have the people and the relationships, even globally, that I've got, this last 30 years would have been too hard for me. And I found myself running and I realized, you know what? I've got to get back into the place where I'm living partnered. And I'm a practical person, so I want to give you some things to take home. Is that all right? I want you to think these things through. See, to be living partnered, there has to be a choice to engage. A choice to engage. You will never discover the beauty of worship unless you engage. If you're a worshiper that goes like this. I'm not picking on you, but I am, because I'm a popper. You got a mouth, sing with it. Like I just said, even if you can't sing in tune, God can change it before it gets to him. Come on, to engage. Well, you know, I've been married with, there's not much love in our marriage. What are you saying? What you sow is what you reap, so engage. Stop standing back and pointing the finger, oh, I wish I had that person, or I went over there. No, engage, engage. When your senior pastor comes in, engage. Ollie can have what he likes. But there's a choice to engage. It's like, okay, I got to think about this. This is not just another Sunday message. Is I got to make a decision. I'm going to start engaging with people because it is too hard for me. The journey is just too flipping tough. Yeah, but it's all right for you. No. It's not all right for me. I have to be kingdom purposed. I got to be Holy Spirit powered. I got to be personally planted. When others go out and never in church, I'm going to be back in the house. Because that's God's way, and I'm going to be living planted, partnered. I'm going to be in that place. A man who isolates himself is all about himself. Let me say it again. Proverbs 18:1. A woman who isolates himself is all about themselves. And that might be challenging, but actually it's liberating. As I said, Elijah runs because of fear of what's going to happen. He's depleted. He leaves his servant at Bathsheba. And it's kind of like even Jesus made a choice to engage. He's about to be crucified and it's too hard for him. It's too hard for him in his humanity. So what does he do? He says, you three come with me. Come on, you three come with me. And there in the garden, would you pray for me? Because I can't carry this. I may be God, but I can't carry this right now. The sin of all of humanity. But there was a choice. Father, this is too hard for me, but if that's what you want, I'm engaging. Until you and I get real with the present, we'll never see the future. You can have all the promises of God all over the walls of your home, but until you get real with where you are. Some of us are going to walk away from today, is my prayer, and we're going to choose to engage. We're going to start engaging with people, not isolating, not being in that place. Second thought about living partnered is there needs to be a commitment to give and receive. Well, I would be somebody with more partners and friends in my world if they gave. No, give and receive. How many know if you give, you shall receive? Not if you receive, you shall give. I'm pretty basic, but you can't live partnered unless you say, I'm going to invest something to it and I'm going to allow somebody to invest into me. See, I come from a Dutch background and it was like, just work, 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 work. You make your own way. You don't expect anybody else. I've had to relearn some of that and realize that, hey, I need to receive. I haven't got all the answers. I've just got to listen sometimes and stop talking because it's giving and receives. And the enemy, he wants to isolate us. And in that isolation, he wants us to live under our pride, our insecurity, our self, to stop us from living. And we use the scripture in weddings, but it's a scripture for life. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one. Because they have good reward for their labor. But if one was to fall, the other one will lift up his companion. But woe, no matter who you are, if you're alone when you fall, for there is no one to help that one up. You can't win alone. Though one be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. The journey is too hard for you. The journey is too hard for you. You see, Elijah couldn't have got up for the next 40 days without the food and the water that was brought twice to him. In fact, let me read it again. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. He went as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. There are many times in our lives where the season we're in is going to need the sustaining input of someone else. And it's okay to be real with that. It's okay today to say, you know what? I feel like I'm not overcoming. I feel like I'm going backwards. I feel like I've stuffed up and done some of the things I shouldn't have done. And you know what God's saying? It's time to receive when you can't give. And when you receive, life is a hospital, but it's not only a hospital. We're here to give whatever anyone needs to get them healthy. And then they're going to become, again, conduits of what they've received to bring somebody else into a healthy place. Just get real with it. You can be real here. Because we're going to live partnered. The good and the bad. Oh, yeah, but I love a marriage like you. No, you haven't seen how the marriage has unfolded. You don't know what it takes to give and receive. The third thought, just quickly, about living partnered is there needs a consistency in the rough. I'm not a great golfer. In fact, I lose my Christian faith when I'm playing golf. Because how many know that little ball should go where I want it to go, but there is a lot between the willingness of my mind and my ability to coordinate. And just when you think you're getting it right, something else goes wrong. You and I, in our humanity, right through the Bible, will discover that there are going to be the unexpected rough seasons. I have a continual battle with skin cancer. I've had the equivalent of four melanomas, three in their starting phase, one very deeply entrenched. So only 2 weeks ago, I had three basal carcinomas cut off my face. And it's one of those journeys where you go, hey, I'm not going to fear it, but I've got to live with that. And you may see me on stage, but I go through everything any other human being goes through. And I've now learned that life here on earth is not easy, but we have a God that carries us through the valleys as well as takes us to the mountains. And right now you might be in the darkest place and you just need to hear this, that if you're going to live partnered, then don't back out in the rough. So you find yourself in the rough of this little ball and you think, stuff it. I'm just going to smash the living daylights out of it. Or there are trees everywhere and you could go left out into the green with a little chip and get back on track, but you think, I can get it through there. But I'm going to hit it harder than I've ever had to hit it before and I've got to prophesy, Ball, listen. I'm on the descendants of Elijah. I've got the power of God on me. And you smack it and you change your swing for the circumstance. And you hit it, but you capture a whole other grass before you ever get to the ball. And you think after five shots later, why didn't I just chip it out? Hey, hear me. This is prophetic. Some of us today are right in the middle of the most unexpected, darkest season we could have ever imagined. And God's saying, stay consistent. Live partnered. Don't isolate. Don't hide. Don't pretend like nothing is going on, but understand that you need to live for the things and the purposes and the ways that God told us to live. When we find ourselves like Elijah did, emotionally stranded, who would have thought after all he just achieved, he'd find himself there? And he didn't live consistent in the rough. And he found himself. And yet God met him there. By the way, sometimes when it's self-afflicted and we've done wrong things, what I've realized in my own life, victory can come by the laying on of hands, but it's also understanding how the principles of God works. That when I'm consistent in the rough, I can break the hold of shame. By the way, shame always seeks to isolate. God brings the hurting, the broken, the compromised back into partnership because the journey is too great for you. And I believe that God is wanting us to look at our failures and go, you know what? I'm going to learn how to partner and how to find the support that I needed. Elijah, after all of this, he says to God, you know what? I alone am the one that's doing what needs to be done. That's how far he had drifted from it. Yes, he had climbed Mount Carmel, prayed for rain, and it came. Yes, he had outrun Ahab's chariot. He had again called the enemy prophets together and saw fire come down from heaven. But at the end of all of that, here he falls asleep, exhausted. And I kind of feel like God is wanting to say many of us today, you feel like you have a faith, but you've gone to sleep in your faith. It's on a shelf somewhere, and God's saying, you've got to be kingdom purposed. Start to do something that's bigger than you and you'll come alive. Live for somebody else's eternity. Every week, look to someone you could bring to church. Start to find out what your gifts are and your strengths are through next steps. Then allow the Holy Spirit access every single day and then learn to do it every hour of every day. Holy Spirit, which decision should I make? You lead me. I'm going to be planted. My family are going to be in the house. So when the storms come, I know my roots are with other roots. And then I'm going to live partnered. So when I feel like I'm exposed and I've stuffed up and shame is all around or I've made mistakes, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to ring somebody. I'm going to discover who's going to partner with me. Who can I be absolutely real with? Because it brings me to this last thought that living partnered is to give and receive. It's a choice to engage. It's a consistency in the rough, but it's a connection with someone that's honest. What's kept me these years? Not far from perfect. I got a great wife who's stood by me, but not. She's become one of my partners. But there are many other people in my world that I've just been honest with. Man, I stuffed up. Yeah, I can identify. You meet someone and say, hey, I've stuffed up. They say, have you? That's an indication they're not a good partner because they're not being honest in their communication. Oh, I've stuffed up too. Life is not a place of perfect people. It's just people that will partner. We heard G on the screen today. Her background is, again, she'd be the first to say very dark, but she's found people she can be honest with. How honest? Who have you got in your world? Who are you alongside? See, to be intentional is what's needed. Jesus was facing the horrific season of the cross. He had 12 disciples, but if you understand Jesus, he had three very close ones, Peter, James, and John. If you read how John thought about it, he says, I'm the favorite. And he brought those three, where? With him into the garden. I don't think you can partner, by the way, with all of your life group. I don't think you can partner just by turning up to church on Sunday. I think what I would suggest is you look for one who more than likely will be in a group and you'll get to know people, whereas church, it's so busy in and out that you may discover one, but you need to understand that God wants to take us on this journey because the journey is too great for us. So even after the food of the angel, we read that he spends the night there. He goes to the mount, and there the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? You see, he was in a cave. If you continue, if I ever find myself living a cave where I don't have partners, we're going to be robbed from the future purpose that God has for us. Got to get out of our caves. It's not going to happen overnight. It may take 6 months, it may take 12 months. But I'm saying, get planted, live partnered. Get into a group and start to look for the one. And then build the one to three. Some people will only ever find one their entire life, but they can communicate with honesty. And then the bread and the drink comes to get us to get up for another 40 days. Is this a word for season? This is not about a magic wand fix. It's about principles. Purposed, powered, planted, partnered. And I just would encourage you from a father's point of view, Ollie's going to come. But just to go, you know what? If I could just find one out of the 12, I'm setting up my future like unbelievable. Then I could find three. It's my inner circle where transparency and honesty exists. That's why James 5, verse 16. We take this just as a salvation verse, but it's far bigger than that. James chapter 5 says, would you confess your trespasses, your compromises, your weaknesses, your realities, your sin? Would you be able to communicate that with one another? And I want you to be prayed for by one another that you may be healed. The word healed is to be made whole. Until there's an honest exchange, you don't get healed. You can be forgiven of sin, but not healed. And we need to find people where we can have honest communication. Are you hearing me? You then get to choose whether you're going to go on a journey. And again, don't go isolated. Talk to your pastors. Talk to the team leaders. Say, hey, I'd really like to find some people that I could connect with and begin a journey. But I believe if we live partnered, we will break the plan of the enemy to isolate us, and we'll see the victory and the purpose of God to come our way. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray. And Pastor Ollie, why don't you join us? Father, I just pray that you would cause us to hear your heart. That God, again, we'll talk about this. We'll get the help that we need so that we can live the way you intended us to live, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you were encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at any of our Auckland campuses. If you're not in Auckland, then check us out, Church Online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifenz.org or download the Life app to stay connected and find out more.